The reason this is so important is this. Unless you understand the ability of faith to elevate you into the kingdom, you will still live a divided mind and a divided heart between two systems. Why do most people, and this is nothing wrong, I'm an educated person. I'm probably going to go for a doctorate degree in the next year or two. I think it's the will of God for my life. But I don't believe it's the will of God for every believer to go to college. Maybe God wants to educate you a different way. Maybe he doesn't want to educate you in Babylon to affect Babylon. Now it's getting really quiet. Because here's what we need. Here's where I believe God wants to take the body of Christ. He wants to take us out of an American idea of who God is to actually change the world. Look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. Remember, the world system puts upon you a yoke that you were never meant to handle. Right. Therefore, I say to you, Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Many believers have lived with worry so long that if they don't live without it, they think something's wrong. Now, we laugh, but this is an important thing to talk about, and I actually know why I hit that before I started teaching today. Many times we've lived dysfunctionally so long that when God tries to teach us his ways, our soul and our mind try and stop the development of God because we think that's weird or different. When the most natural thing is begin to think like God. But here's an important point about living in the kingdom. If you ever think with self-preservation, you can't relate to God properly. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Amen. The only way to relate to God properly is all in.
That's right.
And here's the other thing. The enemy will help you with scriptures to help to take you out of the will of God. And he will tell you, you just use some wisdom. Nothing wrong with using wisdom. But he will use religious ideas about himself to keep you from the full purpose of God. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or what will you drink and about your body and what will you put on? Is life more than food and body and more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil or spin. Yet I say to you, even in Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Excuse me. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things, the Gentiles seek. Remember, Jesus came to the Jew first. So what's he saying there? He's saying, if you're thinking this way, and if your mind is consumed with these thoughts, you're actually thinking like a pagan person. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Therefore, now this is a command, therefore, this is not an optional thing for a believer if you want to relate to God properly. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is simply this. God's domain, God's dominion. Expand the definition, it is also God's way of doing things. And God's mind and God's ability. See, the kingdom of God is not unrelated to the world around you. The kingdom of God is not unrelated to the circumstances in your life that look difficult right now. But in eternity, just like you never earned your salvation, in eternity, he sealed your salvation. But in eternity, he also sealed everything that you would never, ever need to operate on this earth. He sealed your relationships. He sealed your finances. He sealed everything that you would need. He sealed whatever you would need here upon the earth. He has already sealed it in eternity for you to step into by faith in the right time, in the right season, everything you have. Think about it. Our boys are out there in war right now. They're not worried about how they're going to pay for those planes. They're not worried about paying for those bombs. No government sends, in right thinking, will send people out into the middle of a war without the right resources. And this is what Jesus tells us. As my Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Amen. So you come into the kingdom of God by faith. You live by faith. And you have the ability to be anchored from a superior world. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. For we live. New King James, walk. For we live by faith and not by sight. Now it gets even better. Because God has given every person in this room. How many are in Christ? If you're not sure, we can get you born again. No problem. God has given every person in this room faith to overcome. Look at 1 John 5. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot him also loves him, who is begotten by him. For by this we know we love the children of God. And when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdens. I love that. Say amen for that one. Amen. For whatever is born of God. How many are born of God? This is a prophecy for you. For whatever is born of God wins some and loses some. Lives defeated one day. Overcomes the world, overcomes the world, overcomes the world, amen. Overcomes the world. I like this. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Now it gets even better. Everything you need to fulfill your destiny, purpose, and calling, you can receive by walking in a lifestyle of faith. And if you can't receive it by faith, you don't need it in this world. And you don't have to fight like the world does. You don't have to toil. You don't have to labor. It doesn't mean you don't, you know, obviously, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But we work differently in the kingdom. We don't have to toil for what we need here upon the earth. We don't have to elbow people out of the way. We don't have to talk bad about people. Your faith is supposed to bring you everything you need. And there's a rest. I don't know. Have you known this? There's a rest and a peace to walking by faith. It's like, oh, I trust you. Oh, I trust you. I trust you. Trust you. Trust you. Trust you. Trust you. Trust you. Oh, that feels good. Thank God that's not my problem to handle. Faith to overcome the world has been given to every believer. Faith is God's gift to understand the world. Remember, faith gives you the ability to no longer be governed by the five senses. Many people want to understand and have faith. When in the Bible, you're supposed to have faith that causes you to understand. See, your origins in the kingdom define how you're supposed to live in the kingdom. We know no evangelical would argue with you, and especially in America, that you did anything to earn your own salvation. But many are trying to earn the things that they need in this world. And they're trying to earn it according to the world system. When you don't understand God's system, you'll find a way to try and get what you need. Yes. And it will hurt usually a lot of people. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Here it is. By faith, we understand. This is beautiful. Because faith gives you eyes and the ability to understand certain things. Think about what you believe if you come into the kingdom of God. This is what you believe. You believe there was a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who speak the universe into existence. They place a man, a perfect man, upon the earth. They put him in a garden and he makes him the caretaker of the earth. He agrees with the enemy and death and destruction come into the earth. But God finds a man. I'm telling you, God is funny. He still has this desire for the whole earth to come back into alignment with him. Finds a man who's a pagan called Abram, later calls him Abraham, gives him a promise. In you, the seed, I'll make a seed and I'm making covenant with you. And you look at these stars, that's how many people, descendants are going to be after you. What do you mean? I can't do this. Oh, great. Wait, I'm going to let you wait a while. Because I'm going to let you wait a while because I'm going to let you know that you're not doing this on your own strength. Amen. So when he's too pucker to tucker, God gives him a son. Right. He calls him Isaac. He raises up a nation. He gives them laws that govern every part of that nation. Amen. They don't fully fulfill God's prophetic purposes. But you want to talk about blessing? Look at Solomon. Solomon has so much silver, they don't even count the silver. They don't fully fulfill God's prophetic promises. The Italian prophet dies, Malachi. The enemy's such a liar, he thinks he won. 400 years of silence. And then something happened that never happened before in human history. An angel of the Lord comes to a young teenage girl. You think she understood what was happening? All she said was that beautiful statement, let it be according to your word. Amen. Let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. God overshadows a young teenage girl. He grows up the son of a carpenter, fully God, fully man. The Savior of the world, the King of the universe, fully God, fully man, the King of glory, is born in a manger. What's your problem? Talk about humility. The one who speaks the universe into existence actually humbles himself as a man. He grows up in the house of God. He reads scripture. He astounds people even at an early age, but he doesn't go into full-time ministry right away. He becomes a carpenter. His stuff was not being sold at IKEA, I promise you. And it never went on sale because it was perfect. The age of 30, he begins his public ministry. He speaks like no other man. He does miracles no other man did. John says the books of the world could not contain what he did. He picks a bunch of men who still need deliverance to follow him. Amen. He dies on the cross. He doesn't just Hollywood die. He's dead, dead. The reason I say Hollywood died, sometimes we lose the meaning of the resurrection. He died so you could live. He rises again, speaks to his disciples, and he goes, I'm sending you as my Father has sent me. Gives them a prophetic word that was totally out of place. 11 guys worshiping on a mountain, half of them are doubting. If there was ever a prophetic word out of place, it was Jesus' words. All authority has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations. He's telling it to 11 guys, and the world's never been the same. You believe that. That's what you need to believe to come into the kingdom. It takes faith to believe that. It's not understanding and faith. It's faith that causes you to understand. Faith gives you this brilliant confidence to go, I understand this. This is a beautiful thing. And then according to Romans 12 and Ephesians 2, when you come into the kingdom, he gives you a measure of faith. But the important thing to remember about that measure of faith was designed to bring you everything you would need and overcome every work of the devil. The real battle, I've learning this as the more I walk with the Lord, the real battle is not the devil. The real battle is learning to see the goodness of God and stand in faith in every situation. Amen. And here's what he does when he gives you that measure of faith. He expects that measure of faith to grow. And when and this faith thing is a daily choice. You come into the kingdom of God by faith, but I believe living by faith is a decision that must found the basis of your life, but you must revisit it over and 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 over again. Because it will be challenged. And because most of us have been discipled and trained according to the world system. And this system is completely different. The world system says, hold on to everything you got because you don't know if a rainy day is coming. The kingdom says, I'd like your first 10% because I'm blessing all the work of your hand. I'd like your first 10% because it's a sign unto me that you're worshiping me and you really know that I'm your source of all things. This kingdom says, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you. The world system says, curse everyone who does you wrong. It's completely different. And no one's arrived or no one's respected, but this is what God demands of every person in this room. He demands that measure of faith that he's given you to grow. Absolutely grow. Don't believe that Jesus did not judge people's faith. He would say big faith, small faith. And he expects that measure of faith to grow inside of you. And that measure of faith demands to see mountains move.
Yes, amen.
How's the measure of faith grow? I'm glad you asked, Pastor Ronnie. We'll land the plane here. Everything in the kingdom of God was meant to be built around your life of fellowship with God. No one can move beyond their life of fellowship with God. Just absolutely cannot. Living by faith also demands that you live offense-free. You see this even in the life of Jesus, and you see it even played out today. Jesus would say things, I am the resurrection and the life. And then they would come to him, the same people he told them that, they would come to him, he goes, if you're the Messiah, tell us. He just told them. He was preaching in his own hometown. See, it's not a need-based system. Why? Because he delights in us putting complete trust in him. He's preaching in his own hometown. And they're listening to what he's saying because it has life on it. Their hearts come alive. And they go, no one's ever spoken like this man. But then what they know about him, their own intellect, their own soul begins to go, no, no, no. He's a carpenter's son. It can't be. So instead of allowing their revelation to define their mindset, they allowed their mindset to define their revelation. And this is what it says. You know, sometimes it said, well, Jesus, God can do anything. Not all the time. It's actually possible for people's thought process about him to stop the flow of God. I'm here to tell you that this group of people here is going to see an unprecedented move of God.
Amen.
And your mind can say whatever it wants. Well, I've been hearing that for years. And you know, we're just a small group of people. I'm just telling you. They've been prophesying the same thing. What is that? It's offense.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're actually cursing the thing that's supposed to bring you life. Don't do that. I'd rather die in faith than die in skepticism. And it says, the Spanish translation of the Bible of Mark, the sixth chapter, says this, closer to the original language. It says, Jesus wanted to do miracles, but he couldn't. How does Jesus want to do stuff, but they didn't receive him? And here's the beautiful thing about God. He never throws you away, but he has to deal with you at your place of immaturity. He wants to bring them into a promised land. And he actually, see, God will align with your own confession about him. They go, it's too big. They're too big. And he goes, you're right, they're too big, so now turn away.
That's right.
I wanted to bring you in, but I'll have to deal with you down here. I'm not throwing you away, but I sure as heck didn't want to give you manna for 40 years.
That's right.
I'm still going to feed you. I'm still going to take care of you. That's why he says, faith to faith, glory to glory.
Amen.
So in the context, I am landing the plane here. In the context of this is really important here. In the context of fellowship with him, one of the byproducts is this, is that we hear his voice and we hear his word. Really, really important, especially in cultures where maybe prophecy or the word of the Lord is more common. How you choose to honor the word of God and how you choose to wrap your faith around revelation will define your fruitfulness here in the earth. That's why I said living by faith has to be offense free. Read this. By faith, we understand. Look at Matthew 13. Jesus spends extensive time talking about what happens when the word of God is sown. That's other part. And whether it produces what God sent it to do or not, there's one thing that you always have to see here. And it's this. There will always be a challenge to the word of God. The enemy will always try and snatch out what God has told you, what God has spoken to you, no matter what it is. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the kingdom. This is Jesus explaining it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what is the word of the kingdom? It's the seed of a different world. And because God has so married himself to fulfilling his will through his people upon the earth, he needs people who will receive the seed of a different word in their hearts to produce what God wants to do in the earth. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, I don't think it's a distortion of the scripture to say when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not wrap their faith around it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. Paul prays that the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the reason part of this is so important, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't go beyond scripture, but there is a unique season of revelation in the earth right now. I'm telling you that there is a flow of the jewels of understanding for how this world functions, for authority to govern your world, to have dominion in your world, to speak to the mountain that you're in, to see the greatest breakthrough that the body of Christ has ever seen. But unless you wrap your faith around what is being spoken, it will be of no effect to you. I pray that the spirit of wisdom, the whole context of the prayer to a church in revival is this. There are things that you need to hear that you don't know yet. So here's what happens. He gives us truth in degrees because he's really gracious.
Amen.
I could go up I could go up to a little child, that your little girl is beautiful. I could go up to her. I could prophesy her whole destiny today. This is what's going to happen. This is you got this creative thing on you. You got this prophetic thing on you. You got this curiosity thing, and God's going to do this, and God's going to do that. And I can say to her, do you understand it? She'd go. And she's not lying because she understands the English language. But there is no grid for what I just said for her. The words can be powerful, but they'll have to be replayed to her because she's going to have to form a grid in her heart. Why? Isaiah 28. Precept upon precept, truth upon truth. Yes. So he gives you truth in degrees. 20 years ago now, 20 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, there was this divine sense. I've never doubted it since then. Just like I know I'm a man, I knew this was going to happen in my life. Never doubted it. I saw myself going around the world. I saw myself seeing the glory of God. I saw myself going to other nations. I had no idea how it was going to happen. But what did he do? He gave me truth in degrees. He said, this is where I'm taking you. Amen. I'm sorry to say, maybe I didn't mature as quick as he wanted me to. But I'm on the right path. I'm just being really honest. I feel like I should be a whole lot further along. But by the grace of God, I'm on that path. The reason faith is so important, especially to charismatics, is this. Is because walking with God on the highway of God, that narrow path, is like this. It's the archways are encounters. They're the prophetic words. They're these divine moments in God that are a necessary part of the journey. There's these archways, but in between, there's a path that you've never gone on. And you'll need faith because it can't be defined by your feeling. Can't be defined how you feel. Quite honestly, I didn't feel like preaching this morning. Just being honest with you. But now I'm feeling really good. If I did things just how I felt, I didn't even feel half saved this morning. I was like, let them all go to hell this morning, God. But those are just thoughts. It's what you do with those thoughts. That's why it's so important to understand faith, how it develops, how it functions. And so many people love the archways. They got their whole notebook filled with prophetic words, but they don't know how to live in everyday faith. Just trusting God. I trust you. I'm stepping in. And then here comes another archway experience. And you know, I love seeing. I see all the time. I see Jesus just about every day. I see him in physical form. But I thought to myself, well, maybe I'm a little weak in faith this last week because Jesus said, blessed are those who never see yet believe, Thomas. Yeah. Need your faith to wrap around what you've heard. And it doesn't mean you understand it intellectually. So I always try and make a concerted effort. Anytime I'm listening to somebody, often listening to teach in the car, I'll pause it and I go, God, I don't know what that fully means. But in the name of Jesus, I receive what you just said. I receive that for my life. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking like the devil.
Amen.
Yeah. And wherever that thinking came from, deliver me of it. You can't think like a victim if you're going to live in the kingdom of God. Can't blame your mother. You can't blame your father. And there's a whole victim factory out there in America that will tell you you're like this because it's somebody else's fault. This whole stupid thing, you know, especially it's trying to infiltrate itself in the body of Christ. I know racism exists, but racism can't bypass the favor of God. When someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not wrap it safe around him, stolen.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And this whole thing here, God's got his eye on Wellspring.
Yes.
And God didn't just say things. It doesn't mean that not every word was God. I'm not saying that. God just doesn't say things to play with you. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Take some time, maybe in the next few minutes. Make a renewed commitment to walk by faith, not by sight. Make a renewed commitment that the Word of God will be your highest standard. Make a renewed commitment to resist propaganda. Make a renewed commitment to not let your soul guide your revelation. Paul says this, don't be conformed. He's writing to believers. So it's possible to be conformed and still be in the kingdom. I've never met so many people in the body of Christ who fight for their right to be stupid. You tell them God wants to bless them, they go, no, you're wrong. Yeah. Are you going to take an offering? No. Like, they get so mad. All their demons come out. And they think they're being holy. Fighting for God. I was going to use a scripture, but I'll just use this story. I was with my friend, Ken Peters. Well, I will finish with this story. I haven't been here in like 8 months, so I had something to say today. I have a friend, Ken Peters. He's an amazing prophet. Before he even got saved, God showed him in a dream even things that are happening in the earth right now. He's an incredibly accurate prophet. I love him. It's been a pleasure getting to know him. He leads a network of churches now, but Ken is friends with a guy he introduced me. I've also become friends with him. His name is Rocky. Rocky's a brilliant guy. In fact, a number of years ago, Rocky was a finalist, one of the two finalists to be president at ORU. Rocky has a keen business mind, but he's also incredibly anointed in ministry. But over 25 years ago, Rocky made a significant investment, brought him a lot of money. But he's on staff at this church in one of the most beautiful places in the world, Pismo Beach. He builds a house in, I believe, 1991, and it's worth about $2.5 million. Ken's in this house one day. They're both on staff at a Foursquare church in the area. And Ken's using the restroom because all good prophetic words come in the restroom. It's true. And God speaks to Ken. He comes out. He tells Rocky, he goes, Rocky, you need to sell your house. And you need to list it over $1 million over the asking price. You need to, or what it's appraised at. You need to list it for $3.5 million. And he also tells him, he said, and a famous athlete's going to buy your house. So 6 months to go down the road, no one's buying the house. He goes, Ken, are you sure you heard from the Lord? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Rocky's driving to the office one day in his minivan. The Holy Spirit goes, go back to your house. He goes back to his house. There's a very, very tall man in his driveway with a very good-looking woman who looks like a model. Just thought I'd throw that in there because he's a basketball player. Guy played for the LA Lakers at the time. He goes, you have a very nice house. He goes, yes, I do. He goes, how much are you selling it for? $3.5 million. And he goes, that's a little high, isn't it? He goes, it's a nice house. Guy played for the Lakers at the time. He comes in, looks at the house. He buys it for $3.5 million. But this is not the first time this happened between these two. I think we're about down up to the fifth house now. Every time Ken comes into one of Rocky's houses, he lives in Nashville now. He lived in Seattle. They had a very nice house in Seattle. Really, really nice. In the area not too far from where Bill Gates lived. And his wife has told Ken to stop coming to their house because every time he comes to their house, they have to move. The last time Ken was in Nashville, Rocky had two houses. And Rocky goes, I'm thinking of sell this one. Ken, what do you think? He's in one house. He goes, the Holy Spirit speaks to him. He goes, first thing, Ken, Rocky and Jeannie, his wife, they love you with all their heart. What are they doing? They're honoring the man of God. Second thing they do is they're in a small category of people who grab onto that word and begin to contend and pray for every word that you give them. I was listening to it and I go, you honor the word of God. You reap the results of knowing the word of God. I'm talking beyond prophecy. I'm talking if you've never received a prophetic word, this is called the living word. Some of you might find that story stretching, but it's biblical. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you follow the voice of God. And then the whole first part of that chapter lists all the blessings that come upon you from obeying the voice of God. And here's a question I've learned to ask myself when I'm walking with the Lord. How much of the word do I really believe is true? Either it's true and I'm going to receive it, or I'm going to miss the blessing that is in believing. There is a blessing in believing. You receive this word today?
Yes.
If you receive this word, 1, 2, 3, I just want you to stand your feet. Thank you for being patient. But I figured you didn't come on a Sunday morning for a sermonette.
Amen.
You're a warrior called to overcome.
Amen.
I'm not trying to extend this, but I do feel like we need to make an additional step today. I believe that this is the heart of God for us this morning. If you're saying, I want to walk by faith and not by sight, I want to step into that grace. Maybe you've done it many times, but I believe there's a grace here for fresh commitment. Just going to count to three. Just move out of your seat. Move forward. It's a prophetic act. 1, 2, 3. As you've come, I just see seeds of the word of God just falling. As a sign of just receiving, just lift your hands.
Amen.
And listen, we've all had a turn that we've missed at the time. No shame, no blame. Forget that stuff. We don't live in that realm. So I just want you to repeat this with me, and then I'm just going to release a blessing over you. Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
With your help.
With your help.
With your strength.
With your strength.
I choose.
To walk by faith.
To walk by faith. And not by sight.
And not by sight. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, repeat this. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the gift of faith.
Teach me
to honor your word.
Where I've missed it.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
May the word of God
be my highest standard.
Thank you.
For the ability
to hear your voice.
I will hear your voice.
And I will follow your voice. Lift your hands. I just wanted to just hold off half a second. I just wanted to declare this. In the name of Jesus. Now, I you don't have to repeat this. I'm sorry. I'm just declaring. In Jesus' name, Father, I bless your people today to walk by faith and not by sight. I say that Wellspring Fellowship has been called not to move away from mountains, but to speak to mountains. I say that every storm that you've called us into, Lord, you've given us the ability to overcome. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless your people to see the resources of heaven today. I bless them where they felt they have overcome, where there's been weariness. I lift it off of them in Jesus' name. Where the weight of this world system has tried to come upon them, I break them free from it. Father, I stamp inside of them by the grace of God the revelation that you are their source. I stamp inside upon them that they are not alone in Jesus' name. I bless their ears to hear the word of the Lord and to follow it. Father, I bless them to be strengthened. I just see Jesus touching people's eyes. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be open to know the hope that is your calling. And I say that from this day forward, you will begin to see the resources of heaven in a way you have not. You will choose to fight the good of faith. I just see people in here with the sword of the Spirit. You're just breaking through, breaking ground as you trust. I trust you, Lord. I trust you in this. I trust you in that. I trust you with my children. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with this. I trust you with my struggle. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. May the faith that God has given you to overcome the world overcome everything that is contrary to the will of God.
Amen.
I say that you are not bound by this earth system. You are not bound by the five senses.
Amen.
But you are bound by the mind of Christ.
Yes.
I say that everything, that every place in your heart where you crave to do the impossible, through the faith that God has given you, you will see it.
Amen. Amen.
I declare your faith will never be stagnant.
Amen.
Grow, grow.
Your faith will never conform to the system of this world.
Amen.
Your faith will never be entangled by a religious spirit.
Amen.
Your faith will always extend. I bless you to stretch beyond Gumby. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now just lift your hands. There's just a fire here.
Yes. That's right.
Someone's like digestive, something with the digestive system. The Lord is healing you. Be healed right now.
Amen.
Be healed.
Amen.
Someone's lower back.
Amen.
There's like the hand of Jesus is on your lower back. Be healed right
Amen.
Now in Jesus' name. Someone's right shoulder. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Somebody pain on the bottom of your feet. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Right knee, be healed right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right knee, be healed right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's just like a wave. Just receive it. Father, any place where we've had the yoke of this world system upon us, we give it back to you.
Yes.
Because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Here it is. Peace of God.
Amen.
Peace of God. I break you free from worry, fear, doubt, control, condemnation,
yes,
guilt.
Amen.
Broken!
Yes, amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Any sickness, somebody's right, it's like a right eye thing. The Lord is healing that right now. Instant, be healed right
yes,
now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Amen. You look this way. I don't know if God's done, but I'm done. Hey, thank you so much. Please come tonight, 6 o'clock. Pastor John, do you have something?